Welcome to Tips and Sips, an excellent cigar experience. I am your host, Brandon Thompson, and tonight we have a new co-host, Ashley Young.
Hey, good people.
And our special guest tonight is my beautiful wife, Sharia Thompson.
Hello.
So, Ashley, what are you smoking tonight?
Tonight I am smoking the Leather Rose. This is part of the Deadwood series by Drew Estate.
And how do you like it so far?
It's really good, actually. I really like this.
Is that a flavor stick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an infused stick, but I like it a lot. And I'm typically more of a traditional smoker, so I tried this one for the evening. And I'm not mad at my experience so far.
So, my wife, she does not smoke, but tonight she is smoking. What is that?
Tatiana's Ruby Blue.
Yep.
It's a flavor stick. Uh-oh, I'm gonna bring my pants off. And I am smoking the Esteban Carrera Chupacabra. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a new stick. It's my first time here with this stick. I'll let you know how I like it.
Yeah, that is part of 10th anniversary.
Yeah, so this is actually the stick that they just released for their 10th anniversary. So they were kind enough to bring us a couple sizes in this so that we can try it out and, you know, have some of our regulars test it out for us. So he is the first.
So, Ashley, you said there's a story for this cigar.
So the Chupacabra is a folktale. And if I'm not mistaken, the creature is supposed to be like half beast, half like animal. And the what I learned about it was that it used to like eat people, so they were always scared of it. So it comes from a Latino origin,
and that's the picture on the label.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the yeah. So it comes from like the Latino Latinx origin, that folktale. But they used to believe that it would, you know, eat you. I don't know what the stipulations around it, but yeah, that's one of their. Something that they that I learned a while ago in Spanish class.
Okay. So Howard took the night off, and we are testing out Ashley. She might be our permanent.
No, you can't.
Be our permanent co-host.
They're keeping me, guys. Don't listen to that. I got you back. I got you here. Okay.
She's really good though. She was on her last episode when we interviewed Ken Hamlin.
Yeah.
That was a great cigar.
Yeah.
The Arrival. Shout out to Ken Hamlin and Monty.
He smoked his finally. He said he liked it.
Oh,
too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He said he smoked the Tour Grande, and he said he liked that one.
Okay. Speaking of Monty, he's on Color People time tonight, so he'll be here.
You'll hear him right on in.
right. So we're just waiting on him. So, Ashley, how was your day?
Today it was a busy Friday, but I'm not mad at it. The weather held, so that's a big deal. Uh-huh. Because we've been having some crazy weather, and it didn't look like it was gonna make it earlier. It did not look like it was gonna be a good day. So I'm just happy with the small things. I'm happy about that. I'll take
nice.
It.
Nice. And we are podcasting from Pipes and Pleasures. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Iris and Andre Young. We appreciate them.
Yes.
And my wife, Sharia. How was your day? I'm sorry, I got coughed up. How was your day?
Good. I just came back from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So
how was that?
That was fun. It was hot.
She left me alone with all the kids. Yeah. You know.
Once a year I do that.
I lost a few pounds.
Sure. And she has that appreciation for what I do when I'm here.
Yes. That's cool. Now, where in Florida were you guys?
We were in Kissimmee.
Okay.
Which is like 15 minutes away from Disney.
Okay.
So now I want to take my family to Disney.
I've never actually been to that part of Florida. I usually, I've been to Orlando, and I've been to Fort Lauderdale, of course, and then Miami. But I've never been to Kissimmee. I've never,
yeah.
And I just have a friend that moved down to Destin. So I'm going to try to get out some different parts. And I have a cousin in Tampa, too, that I've been meaning to go see. So it's a little motivation to go down there.
It's nice. Mm-hmm. It is nice. But I don't know if I want to live in a place where there's so many tourists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah. I could do it.
So what was there to do there? Like, what attractions?
So one day we went to Cocoa Beach, you know, that's where I bought your souvenirs from. And then another day we went to Clearwater Beach.
Okay.
And then I did some resort tours for when I take my family to Disney World.
Yeah.
Which was fun. A lot of just lounging around. I had a bed to myself.
For probably the first time in a long time.
As did I.
Look, I'm not mad. It was a good break, but I did miss my family.
We had a good time, the girls and I. We just partied. A lot of pajama wearing, you know.
Pajamas and cartoons.
Right, that was about it.
When I got back and saw a whole pack of ramen noodles, I knew that they had a great time.
Chef Daddy.
Yes. I can't stand for the kids to have so bad for you.
So what do you do for a living, Sheree?
I work for a financial institution, and then we do the mail processing. So the area I work in is open 24/6, so I manage a team that does the manual inserting, which exactly how it sounds. They take the mail manually, put it in the envelope, a lot of FedEx, a lot of UPS packages, things like that. It can be very stressful at times. But I actually do like what I do.
Now, let me ask you, so for your specific job, is that something that is predominantly, do you have predominantly male employees and or higher-ups, or is it pretty even mixed?
It is male-dominated, so within my leadership staff, I'm the only black female.
Okay.
It is a male-dominated, because there's machinery, a lot of machinery, printing and inserting and dispatching, which is getting it ready to go on the trucks and things like that. So it's very male-dominated and very cultured.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different cultures. I get introduced to a lot of different things, which is I like learning things. So.
Yeah. Good. Now, and you say you're in management. Mm-hmm. Part of, okay. So let me ask you, how do you navigate, being the only black female, in management, how do you navigate that, especially with, males as your employees and, also some of your higher ups? How do you navigate that?
So with me, and I already know I have a resting bitch face. It can be very hard navigating through that. Because I can say one thing, but my face say another thing. So sometimes at the end of the day, my mouth hurts from smiling all day. Because I got to put that persona across. Yeah. But sometimes I feel empowered being the only black woman, female in that position. And sometimes it is like, it does hurt me, or it does hold me back from things, or like an example, I'll have an idea and it'll get shut down, but one of my white peers will say the same thing several months later and we're rolling it out. Right. So things like that can be hurtful.
Do you feel like you have to work twice as hard to get the same results?
Three times as hard to get the same results. And I always have to stay on top of my game. I can't miss work. Even when I was on vacation, I was working to stay ahead and stay on top of my thing. So can't nobody tell me how to run my department, because I know my department in and out. Where my other peers can guess, or I'll get back to you, there isn't a question that you would ask me I wouldn't know.
So it sounds like kind of one of those ways is that being knowledgeable about what you're doing, so that you're, like you said, you're on top of things, and they can't really micromanage because you already know what you're doing.
A lot of that, what I've noticed is people in management say that you don't have to know what employees do to manage them, and I just don't believe that.
I don't either.
And you get more respect from your employees when you know what you're talking about. So my thing is that I like easy. I don't like hard. I don't like difficult. I got enough of that with my children. So as a manager, it's not only my job to improve processes, but it's also to make it smoother for my employees.
Yeah. That makes it smoother for you, really. Management, for those of you who have never done it before, it doesn't just involve, overseeing the actual work process. You do a lot of personality management.
Yes.
And that's a lot of it. You do a lot of personality management. And so if you don't know what your employees do, or you don't know, who they are and what is best for them, you can't really manage them, because you're not going to be able to get anything productive out of them. if you don't, you know, if you don't know them very well. So. Yeah.
And so, Ashley, you working in a male-dominated industry, do you feel the same challenges?
Yeah, I do. Now, fortunately for me, of course, it's me and my mom, so, you know, we can kind of relate. So, not so much in my work on this side of it, but when dealing with customers, yes. You have some customers who, because you are a woman and a black woman at that, the number one assumption that they get when they come in here is that this is a an establishment not owned, that's not black owned, and that I'm just a worker here. And so, you know, you can kind of gather that they're not so kind or very what's the word I'm looking for? They're kind of aggressive in how they talk sometimes, or like, instead of saying, can you get me, I want, or go get, you know? And I definitely have to pull myself back sometimes. So I'm like, you know, I'll clock out right now.
Do you feel like you're not respected, like, on your opinion?
I think, when I first kind of started, you have a few, but I think, like she said, one of the best things to do is to learn, you know, your product, learn your environment, and they respect the fact that I'm knowledgeable about what I'm talking about. So usually that's what gets their respect, is that I know what I'm talking about, and that, you know, I know a lot more than they probably thought that I did initially walking through the door. So,
cool. Yeah. It's very nice to have two powerful women on here. You know, both of you have respected jobs and everything, you know. So what's it like balancing work life and your personal life?
You can take that, girl. You take that one first.
It is always a struggle. But I've always tried to match whatever I'm doing outside the home. I've tried to match that time back into the home with the children and raising two girls. Yeah, they watch what you do. So they're not hearing what you're saying. They're watching what you're doing, remembering that. Managing that is never easy. I'm not even going to pretend like it's an easy thing to do. But I think as long as you have those conversations with your children, your husband, loving on them, things like that, they know how you feel about them. Like when I was a child, sometimes I didn't know how my parents felt about me. That's why I'm always loving on my children or my husband, so that they know how I feel about them. Because I never want to be on my deathbed saying, I wish I would have spent more time with my family.
That's real. That's very real. So I don't have any children or anything, but I find that more recently I've been a lot more focused on, like you said, reinvesting that energy back into myself and making sure that I spend time doing things for me as well. And you know, if not equal amount of time, to kind of, you know, work on the things that I want to work on, or even, you know, new business that may be coming up. And I just try to make sure that I do that and do a lot of, you know, mental work, because for me, I feel like oftentimes that I don't give myself enough time to rest mentally, or really to not think about being at work. So it's, you know, I make sure that I try to do some sort of like meditation or just, you know, something that literally is mindless and for me, you know. So I just try to, you know, just try to keep that, so I don't get, you know, I think that helps you not create burnout, you know, and keep you motivated to get up every morning and do what you got to do.
How long have you been meditating?
I would probably say for the last maybe 4 months, really, really hard. And really trying to focus in on that. And so I want to really start trying to do yoga, like morning yoga, and do some meditation during that time. But I'd say probably about 4 months now. Trying something new.
So Sharia works out a lot. Do you feel like that is a stress reliever?
Yes, and I actually do my best thinking on the treadmill. I don't know why. I have the best ideas when I'm running. And I can just zone out and do that. Because no matter what, it's like in a class form, the workouts that I do. So no matter what I'm doing, it doesn't matter. There's always somebody that's doing great in the middle or low. But in that time, that 50 minutes of working out, I'm just in the zone doing it. So it doesn't matter if I have a good day or a bad day or whatever. That's just my time. like I don't have any kids around me. I have my husband around me. I'm not distracted by work. I'm just focusing on me.
You're present in that moment. Yeah.
So I know you don't smoke, but how do you like that so far?
It actually smells and it's really good. But it's fine. It's smooth. It's not too harsh in there.
So you are married to a smoker who does enjoy cigars.
Yeah.
So my question is for you is, what is the thing that you enjoy least about smoking?
The lingering smell.
Okay.
So, like I can't drive his car.
That's out.
And I'm like, okay, as soon as you get home, just take off all your clothes and let's just put them in the washer.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, if you ever walk into a cigar shop, that smell sticks to you fast. It's pretty immediate. So even if you're just hanging out for, all of 20 minutes, you're going to walk out and be like, ooh, I can smell that. Right. I can smell
it's
that.
A quick smell
and I was going to say, even when we haven't smoked for the day and you're just walking in for the first time, it still catches on your clothes. I definitely can feel you there. Definitely. I have some stuff that I use for like my hair to take the smell out too, because that's like oftentimes if I'm getting off late here and my friends are out and I go to meet them, I'm like, you know, like, oh, okay, yeah, I smell like a bunch of cigars. And I, you know, my friends are a little bit younger, so they're not necessarily into the cigar culture just yet, so that smell is not so familiar to them. You know, I try to, you know, spray it down and all that stuff and change clothes. Because yeah. it does happen that way.
So what I want, Ashley, you also do makeup.
Yep.
And Sharia is just getting into makeup. She's doing a great job too, you know. She kind of taught herself. And I watched her go through the process. Yeah. She taught herself how to do it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of tips do you have for anyone else that's trying to start?
Ooh, it takes a while. So a lot of people jump into makeup and they want to see the results and they want to just know how to do it from YouTube watching one video. It is not like that, okay? It is not like that. I mean, I started on YouTube just learning, just doing DIY stuff. And so I started in college and I was broke, of course, in college. So there's a brand, J-Cat and Jordana, and they are like dollar brands where you can get stuff for like $1, $2. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would go buy and like try a whole bunch of different stuff. It would be looking crazy, but in photos, I'm like, who let me do this? But I just stuck with it and really just, you know, kept watching and you know, evolving my technique. And really, I think one of the things is it does take some skill, but a lot of it is the technique in your product, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And really learning what works for you and your skin type. That's definitely a major part of it, because you can buy the best makeup in the world, and if it doesn't go with your skin type, mm-hmm. it won't matter.
Got you. So Monty just joined us.
Sorry, guys.
Speaking of color people's time. What's up, Monty?
What's up, people?
How you doing?
Good.
Got money.
I had to work. They, master wouldn't let me off that plantation.
So how many bodies today did you pick up today?
I did 4, but almost out of town.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, long day, huh?
Yeah, I got an even longer day tomorrow.
So that is the Esteban Carrera. And I like it already. It's nice. It's a full Maduro. Is it a double Maduro? I think she said it was a double Maduro.
I haven't even cracked open.
And it's definitely a full.
It's a real too.
She smoked. Yeah, yeah. No, she ain't smoking.
Oh, man. Damn.
Damn.
She's
smoking.
Damn. Damn.
Damn.
Damn. Damn. Damn.
Brandon
gave me this chair and it's hugging my hips like 62 jeans and shit. Tight as hell.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Because I ain't going to move once I sit back.
So how's your week been, man?
My week wasn't too good. I had a couple deaths to some people real close to me this week and last week. But I'm still here, so I can't complain. And we actually got Saria on here, so I can actually see her smoke a cigar.
For the first time.
She's going to smoke a better one next time she get on here.
Baby steps.
Right, baby steps. I'm mad at her. I'm proud of her. I'm proud that she smoked today.
I want to ask Brandon a question. Mm-hmm. So how does it feel with me and my career stuff? As my husband.
I'm very proud of you through your process, you know. I'm not threatened at all, if that's what anyone thinks, you know. I love to see you grow, you know, make great career choices. And I respect you more for how you keep pushing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's a lot of, younger generation, again, speaking for me, the dynamics are you know, changing now, and there's a lot more women that are independent, making great money, and even more money than some of the guys, and opening up a lot of businesses, and so it can be intimidating, you know, when you're not used to that dynamic, or you don't know how to navigate that dynamic as a guy. I feel like a lot of them are intimidated by that, because they feel like then, you know, what they're built for to provide and all that stuff is now not necessary, when it's still very much necessary. Yeah. But you know, it's definitely, I think it makes it better. I think you guys can speak to that.
A man doesn't have to make all the money to be the king of the household. That's what I think. I think that the man still has their role, but it doesn't have to always be about money.
I agree. Every woman I've ever had has been smarter than me. Not that I'm stupid.
That's just women.
I'm the only one that's ever had a degree. My kids' moms never have degrees or anything, but they're always smarter than me and look better.
I mean, I think I've heard.
Made more money than me.
And a lot of successful men will tell you that you know, they picked women that were smarter than them because, you know, it's like your second line of defense, you know. And they're like, as great as it was for me to be able to make decisions, you know, she trusts that I make those decisions. it still was always great to have, you know, someone's second opinion who I can, you know, vouch for, and it's good.
I definitely need somebody smarter than me, because I can't spell my name right now.
That's funny.
My dad owned his own business, but I always remember as a kid he would always yell from the office asking how to spell stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, he's the worst speller.
Most women can outspell men anyway. And most men can outcount women.
Also, shout out to the young lady who won the spelling bee this year. She and she's actually a basketball phenom. Too. Yeah.
Well, that's a little girl that got the scholarship to go to one of them big ass.
She won on the word Murray.
Mm-hmm. Murray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was the first.
Can you use that in a sentence? And please spell it. Please use it in a complete sentence so I can understand what word you're saying. I don't watch spelling bees because I can't spell. That's exactly why I don't watch Wheel of Fortune. But I would tear your ass up in some Jeopardy.
In some Jeopardy?
Yeah.
So you don't do good at Scrabble?
Hey.
I love Scrabble. So we know what game they bet against my end is going to be Scrabble.
I'm not going to be
good. We play Scrabble and Monopoly. Those are our games.
We can play with ourselves.
Yeah.
When you bring your brother in it with his cheating self.
What's he cheating? Which one? Both of them?
No, he cheated in his card game on the first
anytime
time.
He cheated.
Games,
yeah. He never has the card.
Oh, yes, he
giving you
the house
rules. And he gives us our own rules. So when we go get the game to brush up on our skills, they'll demolish us. Him and his girlfriend will demolish us.
Yeah.
Like,
y'all go get the real game and
we go get the game with the card. But he cheated us.
But Sharia has the worst temper.
I am not
the worst.
Good.
It's so bad that true. People text me like, is she okay? We're going to play the game, you know. And they leave early.
Man, listen.
Super competitive.
Did you play sports growing up?
I ran track. I was in the band and I did
time. Okay. Oh, yeah. Track is it. And that's the one where you are the lone wolf. It's your, you know what I'm saying?
By yourself.
That's that probably definitely builds that competitiveness. Yeah. I was a basketball player, so I definitely know that I hate losing. I hate losing more than I like to win. So I get real serious in those games. Real serious.
So, Mom,
yes,
when you go into a cigar shop and you see a woman who's working, does that change your outlook on cigars? Does can she sell you more? Is there a difference?
A woman can sell me on anything. I have no hair, and I will buy shampoo. A woman tells me that I need it.
So that. But I love your honesty.
Right. So how do you feel, B? How does that, do you feel like if you, you know, walk in and see a female working, does that sway you?
I used to, ask myself, does she really know about cigars, you know, but that was a wrong approach, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But now, it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
I feel like if she works there,
yeah,
she knows everything about cigars, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, no.
Well, that ain't always true. In life, people can work somewhere and not know shit about what they sell.
Yeah, especially if you got someone who can sell, though, you know what I mean? If they know enough, and they make you feel like they know enough, it's not really a hard sale.
But I do like to see a woman work in a cigar shop and always ask her opinion. Because I like to buy cigars for my kid's mom. Mm. And then, well, she smokes a little bit, blah, blah, blah. And usually every time I give her one, some girl had recommended it. She ends up liking it.
Yeah.
Not that she ain't going to smoke what I'm smoking anyway.
Yeah, people always come in and one of the things they always ask me is like, what's a girl cigar? And I'm like, there is no such thing as a girl cigar. You know what I mean? There will probably be things that women find a little bit more, a little bit better for them as far as like the harshness, you know, so that is, like you said, a lot more smooth. But I always laugh at that question. It kind of tickles me when they come in here and ask that. Cause I'm like, there is no such thing as a girl cigar. But
I think people assume that the fruity cigars
are for females. Yes, yeah. They do. The infused cigars and Tatianas, anything that's a little bit more fruity, they tend to think that that's for females only, and they're like, is that size for females? I'm like, it is about preference. It's more about how long you want to be smoking, you know, what you're feeling. So a lot of times when people don't know what they want to smoke, whether that's, you know, male or female, a lot of times I ask them, like, okay, well, how are you feeling today? Like, you know, what are you feeling, something a little bit more, you know, fruity? Because there's guys that come in and they're like, today I want something, they'll like full body and come in and they're like, I've had a day, or this is the beginning of my day, so I want something that's a little lighter, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of those questions that I try to ask everybody is, you know, how are you feeling today? What are you feeling today?
I don't smoke too much light stuff at all. I will smoke the Nub Cafes, which that's not what they're called anymore, right?
What are they called now?
No, they're new. I just don't know. There's still nuts, yeah.
Are they called the cafes still?
Yeah, there's the single roast, double roast, and triple roast. Yeah. Is how they label it. Yeah.
They label them a little different. Yeah. I'll smoke them in the morning.
Yeah.
But I like my cigar black like me.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes. There's some people who, you know, their first one of the day with some coffee or whatever to wake them up, they prefer a little bit lighter so they're not, you know, knocked out the first tick of the day. Especially if they smoke throughout the day, so.
Tomorrow is a 6-day minimum cigar for me. 6. Outside in the heat, smoking, dealing with black folk all day.
What you got going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow's a 614. It's a Bobby Fame production.
Who's going to be there?
Scarface. No, I'm sorry. It's Ja Rule, Too Short, Mike Jones, Darnell Jones, and Kiki Wyant.
Oh, okay. That's
so, please go out and get your ticket if you ain't got it.
Yes, give them times.
Yeah, show starts at 5.
Where's that?
At the Commons, downtown on Rich Street. It's an outdoor venue, and preferred seating, general admission, and VIP. Can't tell you the prices because I don't remember.
But they're not. Where can they get their tickets?
You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.
Are they on
Eventbrite? Talibs. Eventbrite.
Yep.
Lachey's and what's that smoke shop on Main? Main and. Main and Champion, there's a smoke shop there. It's a restaurant. K&S Smokes or whatever kind of smoke. Something. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, for those of you guys who won't be attending the 614, which a lot of people will, we are also having an event, a ladies' first day party. It's from 4 to 10 over here at Pipes and Pleasures, 4244 East Main Street. You don't have to pre-purchase tickets or anything. Just come out. It is $25, but 10 of that 25 goes towards your cigar purchase. And then a meal is included with that 25 for tomorrow. So, you know, if you got some ladies, it's not just for ladies, of course. Men are welcome as well. We'll have a DJ out there. It is going to be outdoor. We have both indoor and outdoor seating.
Who's DJ?
Fly Air Crew.
Fly Air Crew. It's okay. Oh, so it's three DJs. Okay, oh, yeah, we'll be having three down. DJs. Oh yeah, it's gonna be going down. Yeah, yeah.
Miss Iris gonna book her event the same night we have an
open. Right, right.
Stab me in the back.
What time do you all start?
Doors open at 3:00.
3:00. Okay. Oh yeah, y'all right at the same time.
How's that cigar, Monty?
The cigar is not bad. My throat is dry. That's why I ate all my candy today while I was driving. So my throat is dry. But this is a great cigar. It's kind of woodsy to me, though. Which is fine.
What is woodsy?
Kind of like a, got an earthy taste to it.
Okay.
I never understood the earthy term. Remember that time we were here and they had those four cigars in one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they,
oh, that guy.
And everybody was like, I taste the earth. And
I
was
like, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to say like dirt. It's, not,
it's more of a dirty taste. That's what I would think.
But you also say dirt because that's like unappealing, by nature. But it I know what you mean. It's like that. It's the smell of like dirt when you walk outside. That there's a smell that is.
It smells like a little boy that's been outside playing all day.
I'm gonna need you to rephrase that.
Listen, you come in your grandma's house or something, she'd be like, you know, you smell like outside.
Outside. Yeah.
I never knew that what that meant until you became an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I used to tell people all the time that, like, I'm not a fan of watermelon. And the reason I'm not, to me, it tastes like outside. It just tastes like the dirt outside on a hot day. And I've never, when I was younger, people would be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, y'all do know your olfactory is definitely connected to your taste buds. So those, you know, smells that resemble taste and taste that resemble smells, you know, your brain can recall. And that's what watermelon tastes like to me. So I've never enjoyed it. I tried to like it because it looks so appetizing in the summer, but.
Mm-hmm. Can't stand it.
Yeah, me either. It tastes literally like outdoors to me.
I don't even like the way it smells.
So good to me.
We are a watermelon house. Okay. It lasts
same
about
day
a day.
I cut it.
Now, did y'all see that they have now fried watermelon?
That's old. My brother
didn't
was
we try that
years ago.
At the corn festival.
Would y'all try that? Or did
I think we did try that at the corn festival.
They fry
right?
it to mm-hmm. make it like the texture. Mm.
What it does is watermelon is so much water anyway. You fry it and it dries it up some. It doesn't make it tough, but it changes the texture up.
No, okay.
I don't know what it tastes like because I don't eat watermelon.
Me either.
But you don't either?
I don't eat no melons. Mm. Honeydew, cantaloupe. Mm-mm.
They said people be fake liking cantaloupe because there's no way. Cantaloupe is so nasty. I don't know.
I like cantaloupe. And honeydew.
And honeydew.
I don't really? Yeah. I'll take honeydew, but our cantaloupe is a no for me.
I don't eat no melon.
None at all. The only fruit I eat is pineapples, apples, oranges, bananas, and grapes.
That's it. Mm. Yeah, I like the exact same. I tried a new type of kiwi for the first time. And,
don't like the way it smells.
It was amazing. This one was it didn't have any like hairs on it, and I can't remember the name of it, but inside it's like yellow instead of green, and instead of like peeling it, you just open it up and scoop it out with a spoon. Mm. And when I say it was delicious, I'll have to get the name of that kiwi for the next podcast, but it was amazing, and that was the first time I'd ever even seen it. I thought kiwi only came one way really. And it was good. It was
how do you
good.
Eat your kiwi? Do you peel it?
If it's a regular kiwi, no, I don't peel it.
You
I
eat the whole thing, right?
No, I don't eat the skin. You eat the skin?
Yes.
That's the part you're supposed to eat.
No.
That is the part you're supposed to eat.
That's the part you're supposed to eat.
That is it. No, it's like hair in your mouth. That's like
and
licking
nice,
hair.
And a lot of times it comes with something that you can
scoop it with.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's the nutrients. Is the skin.
Well, I guess I'm not eating it for the nutrients. I'm not eating that skin. It's just hairs on it. I just feel like it's like
I might have ate the sticker a couple times.
That's how my friend is. He eats the whole thing, or he'll like just, you know, cut it, or you know, break it open and just eat it. And I'm like, there I was with my little spoon. But yeah, the hairs, I can't get over that. That would just feel like it's just like, you know, picking out all my tongue.
Down your throat.
Yeah,
you can't chew that.
Right.
Do you peel a peach?
No.
With that fur on it, you just eat all that?
Yeah, but that's like, it's like I don't know, it's a different texture for peaches.
I feel the peach.
Yeah.
Okay,
peach,
so,
I'm gonna eat, yeah.
So since we're talking about the wrong way to eat food, mm-hmm. Say you meet somebody, and y'all get together, and y'all been together for a long time, right? And you love this person.
Where is this going?
And then you find out that they cut avocados wrong. Would you leave them?
I wouldn't leave them, but I sure enough be talking.
That is a red flag.
That's what I said there, because there's really only one real way to cut an avocado. So, like, the fact that you
cut an avocado wrong.
I don't know. I saw it on Instagram. This woman went on a rant.
Oh, her husband.
And left her husband. Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm so weak. He asked me that one day, and I was like, you know what? I'm like, because what's really going on?
I said,
like,
how do you cut an avocado wrong?
Right.
Cut up the seed.
I didn't know how to cut either.
Oh, you didn't know?
Till she taught me.
Brandon didn't really eat a lot like I eat. Like, I love avocado toast for breakfast. Mm. That's my favorite.
She made the best guac.
Mm. Oh, yeah. My sister Angie makes great guacamole. Mm. Shout out to Angie. That's only one of the three things she can cook.
All say,
right.
Yeah. She makes great pasta salad, guacamole, and tacos.
That's my favorite.
I'm not good at making soul food, so I ain't even. It's okay, Andy.
I actually don't eat a lot of like soul food on a regular basis, like at home. Mm-hmm. I more so, you know, enjoy those when like I go out to dinner or something like that, or like family reunions or some stuff like cookouts. So, I try to stay away from that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Try is the operating word. I try to.
My brother was a chef. So we ate, and my mother could cook, so we ate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And we lived overseas, so we ate everything, too.
Oh, where'd you live overseas?
We were in Japan. Oh, my sister Angie, who I was just talking about, was born in Okinawa. Oh, she was born in Tachikawa, Japan.
Oh, wow.
But she don't eat rice. What Jap do you know don't like rice?
What Jap? Well, she's technically not a Jap, though.
She isn't.
We do not judge here on Tips and Sips podcast.
No judgment. No judgment zone, y'all.
And my niece Christina was born in Okinawa, Japan, and she's a Jap, too. They don't eat rice.
You don't support the views of Monty.
Right.
You'll get all kinds of emails and stuff.
That's just my opinion.
The opinions of the viewers.
Right.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I'm going to have to edit that part out.
Now, how long were you guys over there?
We were in Okinawa for 2 years. My dad was in Vietnam and Korea.
Okay.
We lived all over. We could, you know, we're not the typical black folk.
Mm.
We could ski a little, horseback ride.
That's what that was.
Stuff like that. And, my cousins on my mom's side of the family can't do none of that.
Yeah, listen, that stuff is good to get exposed to.
They lived in Columbus their whole life, could do nothing. We would try anything, and I would try anything, any food, anything, I'll try it. I don't eat peanut butter. But I took my sister Angie to this restaurant for her birthday. Woodbury, I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah. They got
and they had these peanut butter wings.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. Tasted it. Didn't like it. But I ate another one because you got to try it at least twice to see if it's really what you like. Mm-hmm. Too peanut buttery for me.
Yeah. At the Woodbury, they have, like, kind of weird dishes. Yeah. Like, I think there was another one. My friend went, and he got, like, a peanut butter and jelly waffle or something like that. And it, they got different. I haven't been yet, but I was looking at the menu and I was like, I don't know about
this. Good food though. The wings just wasn't for me. There was another wing the guy gave that I tried. Don't know what it was. They had some green sauce on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tried it. Didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I ate 3 or 4 of them just to try it because I'm like, maybe I will like this.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
And he didn't charge me for it either, so.
Yeah. Okay, so
it was real good when it's free.
So in line with trying new stuff, when you guys first started smoking, were you guys, quick to take risks as far as trying new sticks, or were you guys more so like, I'm gonna stick with what I know at first? And
no, that's my thing. I try everything new.
Mm-hmm. I will try everything.
But we started on Victor Sinclair's because they were all infused. Remember those? And they came in the plastic tubes. Then you guys have the Louis.
The Gurkha Grimm.
And I like those also.
Yeah, that was one of my first sticks I ever smoked.
But I try everything really new. I always want to see what's out there. And I can't stick with just one cigar. Even though my favorite cigar is a Brazilian. And I can smoke that anytime.
It's not a bad stick.
Just because it tastes amazing. I like Brazilian filters anyway. Just a great smoke.
Yeah.
Perfect draw.
A lot of those Brazilians have multi-country blends as the filler too, so they're very flavorful throughout the stick. So,
what's your favorite stick, Ashley?
My favorite.
Do you have time to enjoy a stick?
So more so when we do off-site stuff, because we're in here, I have to run in and out of the humidor, even you'll see like Dwayne, you see he'll have a stick in his mouth and it never gets lit or lighted, and that mug will get put down like 10 times. So for me, I try to preserve the flavor of a cigar, especially if I'm smoking it for enjoyment. So I try not to do it while I'm here, just because I'm running in and out of you. Of course, you can't take the sticks into the humidors when they're lit. Because what'll happen is that flavor will infuse into all the sticks that are in the humidor. Mm-hmm. So it'll change that. So it's a little harder, especially on like event nights and stuff like that. But if we're off site and outside, it works a little bit better for me because, I have a little bit more freedom as far as enjoying the stick, and I'm not going in and out of a humidor. So.
Okay, so speaking of, if you have a lit cigar and it infuses with all the other ones, what if you have infused cigars and you have it in your humidor with other cigars?
So we keep ours, there's like three main areas that our humidor is divided in, and we try to keep all of the flavored cigars in one section so that doesn't happen. We usually recommend that, like, if you, let's say you put all your sticks in the humidor, we'll tell people, like, put one in the plastic bags that we give, because they're not porous, and so they're not going to let a lot of air in and out, moisture in and out, and just you can leave it in the plastic bag and then put it in your humidor like that, so that your, other celloed or unselloed sticks won't be affected by that. Because, like, something like a Groovy Blue will definitely change the flavor because it is so fragrant. So if that's sitting next to something for a long time, it is going to end up absorbing that.
Does the flavor of a cigar change after it goes out and you light it again?
Yes, it does. And especially if you continue to let it go out and relight it, after a while it almost gets like sour. And so that's why I don't, like I said,
because hers went out like 10 times.
Because what happens is that soot builds up in the inside. So when you're done with the cigar, that's why we always recommend to people to cut the end off, blow through it, so that you blow that remaining soot and stuff that you at first initially got smoking, to blow that out, so that when you do go back to relight it, you have as close to the original flavor as you can get.
I blow through my cigar all the time.
Yeah.
As I smoke it.
Oh, you do?
How many cigars have you smoked today?
This is actually my second one today.
Okay.
I usually smoke a whole lot when I drive, but I got 50 different things going on in my mind, and I'm like Howard today. I can only do one thing at a time. I can't drive and smoke today for some reason. I couldn't think and smoke today.
What was your first stick for today?
Oliva Milano V.
Those are really good.
Maduro or the regular?
Regular.
Okay.
You don't often smoke those, though. Usually it's a Maduro.
I usually stay with the Maduros, but today I have haven't been drinking enough water, so I've been getting headaches when I smoke. So I'm dehydrated. So I've been drinking plenty of water and everything.
Yeah, so that goes along with what we were talking about earlier, that people, there are some people who prefer, lighter smokes in the morning versus the, afternoon, and that can change based on how you're feeling. And they typically go a little lighter if they're, not feeling very well, or just it's been like I said, one of those weeks. Cause we have another customer that, you know, she'll change her smoking, what she likes to smoke, based on, like, she has asthma, so sometimes, you know, a little bit stronger, bolder stuff will make her wheeze a little bit, so she'll go a little bit lighter. So I always definitely try to ask people how they're feeling today to get, you know, get a little range of where they're at.
Cool. Myself and Howard used to go to a bar on the Sundays to watch the football games. And when we walked in there, they would automatically make the people leave our tables, because we always had two tables. Why, I don't know, but we had two tables and four chairs. A chair for Howard to sit in and put his feet in, one for me to sit in and put the cigar bag in. We had a big ashtray.
Was that Jimmy V's?
Yeah, Jimmy V's.
Mm-hmm.
And we would make them turn off the music if we didn't like it. And we would turn on whatever, no matter what game was on, if we didn't watch that game, they would turn on the game we wanted. And we would sit there, and in between cigars, we would always have lemons and limes, because it would cleanse your palate.
Mm-hmm.
So you could taste the fullness of your cigar. Because we were real connoisseurs.
So what is lemon and lime? That's actually really good for it. So I learned this, I don't even know where, but if you don't have gum, let's say you're a smoker, you go outside to smoke, and they say use like lemons and limes, like you said, to clear your palate, and so you won't have that such strong smoker's breath, so the acid in it gets rid of a lot of that stuff. So that's what, like, if I go to a bar and like the shot is nasty, I drink something fruity and at least kind of a nasty taste, that's what I do. I just bite on the lemons and limes.
I always got gum and mint. Altoids are great.
Yeah,
Altoids are strong.
Very strong.
Yep.
And you can always get Skittles. It keeps your mouth from drying out. And they taste great.
Yeah, they taste great. Cool.
I am a Skittles eating fool when I smoke.
Skittles, okay. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's your excuse to eat candy, all those folks out there. Mm-hmm. You need one.
Yep. Now, if you're a diabetic, I don't recommend that. I'm fat, but I'm not a diabetic.
I ain't mad at that.
So does anyone else have anything?
No, I think we covered everything.
Well, I appreciate my wife, our special guest, coming on here today.
Yes. Came to smoke with us.
And as always, thanks for tuning in to Tips and
Tricks Podcast. Before Brandon signs us off here, I want to reiterate that Brandon is really bucking for husband of the decade. I'm just letting y'all know. He's such a romantic.
He is.
Listen at his wife smiling from ear to ear.
Brandon does a really good job. He's a good husband.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for listening, and as always, this is Tips and Sips Podcast.
Where can they find us at?
Oh, we are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and on Twitter. I mean, not on Twitter, I'm sorry. Instagram. And our handle on Instagram is tipsandsips_podcast.
Yeah, and you'll find all of us, if you want to explore our personal pages, all of us are linked to that account.
Yep. And we are still in the testing phase, but Ashley.
Howard, I love you for real.
Howard, hurry up, buddy.
Oh, wait, we forgot to do this thing because, you know, he does his, what is he mad about
his
this
rant.
Week? Yeah, okay, so in the absence of him. So he does what he's mad about for the week. And I told him that I'm going to do what I'm happy about for the week.
What are you happy about, Ashley?
This week, I am happy that we actually got a break a little bit from events. So yesterday, unfortunately, we had to cancel our event, but it did make for me, it was made a way for me to get some stuff done that was necessary for me. So I'm happy that that's out the way.
Ashley has real nice nails too.
Oh, thank you. I got these done in Texas, y'all. But if you ever need a nail tech in Columbus, Nails by Dawn is her name. That's my girl. And Bookwork, she's on Instagram with Nails, NAILZ by and then _ Dawn.
She looks like she got diamonds on these things. Let me see.
Yeah,
she's got real nice nails.
He just want to touch her hand.
Yeah. He just
want to
hold my hand.
I'm sitting here watching him try to play.
No. But yeah, good people. Thank y'all for tuning in.
All right.